Good morning to all. It is a pleasure to see everyone that is here with us this morning. We have visitors. We're very thankful for y'all, and we invite you back at any and every time. We appreciate your presence. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Most of you probably know Alberta Blaylock, Melvin's wife, died this last week. Her services will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock in Cleveland. So she's been sick for quite a while and finally got to where she just couldn't go anymore. Sad deal. Good woman. What if one of the brightest people in the world was told about God and Christianity? What if this super, super smart person was told about Jesus and the New Testament and the New Covenant and the New Church? How would this individual respond? Well, that question is answered, and it is found in the fifth chapter of Acts. Beginning in verse 34 through verse 42, we read about a Pharisee in the fifth chapter of Acts named Gamaliel. The text describes him as a doctor of the law who was held in honor, great honor, by all of the people. He was a member of the Pharisee sect, and he was a very extremely respected teacher of the old law. He was the grandson of a man by the name of Khalil, who founded one of the schools of the Pharisees, and some 2,000 years after the life of Gamaliel, a man that taught the Apostle Paul, by the way, he is still teaching those that would hear today. Let's read the 34th through the 42nd verse of Acts 5 to set our sermon off. It said, "Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee, by the name of Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all of the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all those who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people with him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or this work is of man, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God.' And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." Now, I'm going to admit to you, I've read this text several times, and even as I started reading it to put my lesson together, I thought that Gamaliel had a pretty good speech. And I pretty well agree with the things that he said. He was able to calm the angry crowd down. He was able to put things, the level of anxiety and emotions, he was able to bring them down. And I thought he did just a pretty good job in the things he said, and he spoke with great wisdom. But as I began to study, and I began to read what others had said, and I began to think of what Gamaliel had said here, I believe he was in error in the things that he said. And I believe there's some great lessons for us to study this morning. So we're going to speak for just a little while today about the advice from the sermon that Gamaliel told to the Sanhedrin court. Let's go to Heavenly Father in a word prayer. As Luke wrote this book of Acts, and he begins to describe this man Gamaliel in the fifth chapter of Acts, he did not overstate the importance and the position of this man, Gamaliel. He did not exaggerate the accomplishments that this man had made or the position that he held in society and the respect that people held toward him. There are sources which say the Jews had a special title for seven Hebrew teachers, and that title was Rabban, R-A-B-B-A-N. This was a title of superiority and the authority. This was the best of the best of the Jewish rabbis. And Gamaliel was one of seven men that was able to hold and was honored with this title of Rabban or Rabban. The teacher was so well respected that he was called by his peers, he was called the beauty of the old law. And when he died, his fellow Jewish people said, the glory of the law has died. This was the respect and the honor and the authority that this man Gamaliel held in the Jewish committee, the Jewish community. And of all the Jewish rabbis that lived, this man was one of the most famous and the most important of all, the wisest and the most respected. It is said that Gamaliel was so bright that he had 1,000 students that he taught. The brightest Hebrew students in the entire land studied underneath Gamaliel. 500 of these students studied the law, 500 of these students studied Greek wisdom, and the Apostle Paul was one of these studies, one of these students. So this kind of gives you an idea of the intelligence level of the Apostle Paul, because Gamaliel didn't take the average people. He took only the best. And the intellect of Gamaliel was something that was far, far superior to the average people. As time passed, we now get ourselves into the 5th chapter of Acts, and this highly respected, extremely intelligent, very sophisticated and well-loved man was now confronted with the gospel of Christ. What are you going to do with the apostles of Christ, Gamaliel? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ, and what are you going to do with this individual that has proved that he is the Son of God? And now the apostles stand before this elite Sanhedrin court, the very best of all Israel, the leaders and the rulers and the ones that make the decisions, and they're fighting for their life in front of this court, the same court that had killed Jesus just a few days prior. The information presented to Gamaliel as the apostles stood before them was not limited only to what the apostles said in front of the Sanhedrin court, because Gamaliel knew very well who these apostles were. And Gamaliel also knew very well who Jesus Christ was. Several miracles, many miracles, had been performed in the city of Jerusalem as Jesus was teaching. And since his crucifixion, many, many miracles, have supernatural things happened on the day of his crucifixion. And now the apostles were out and they were healing people. They healed the lame man, and the lame man stood in the courts. He stood in the temple. Gamaliel had seen these miracles. He knew who Jesus was. He knew very well who Jesus was. He knew who the apostles were. And he had seen this lame man that had been healed by the apostles. He had seen the unnatural happenings that happened at the crucifixion when everything was unnatural that happened to signify that God was not pleased at what had happened and to prove the deity of his son Jesus. And yes, sir, Gamaliel knew very well who Jesus Christ was. But the Jewish leaders at this time were frantic. They were in a position where this man had came in to Jerusalem, and he had begun to teach this new religion, and people were believing it, and people were following it, and people were selling what they had. There was a great clan. There was thousands of people that had accepted Jesus, that had been baptized for the remission of their sins. And these Jewish leaders had a real problem, because if Jesus took over, then they could see their strength and their power and their standing being diminished. And they had to stop this preaching. They had to stop these apostles, and they had to stop this movement of Christianity. They were angry, and they were extremely angry. They had already killed Jesus Christ, and now we've got these apostles before them. In verse 33 of the 5th chapter of Acts, it says, they took counsel to kill him. They wanted the apostles dead. They wanted them out of the way, because they were taking away from their power and their ability. It was illegal for the Jews to kill anyone, because the Romans had authority over the Jews. But these Jewish leaders had circumvented this little regulation back when they killed Jesus, because they were able to convince the Romans that they needed to do this, and the Romans let them do what they wanted to do. All this information was very familiar to Gamaliel, and we need to understand that this man knew exactly what was going on. He was so well informed, in fact, that in verse 34 it says that Gamaliel stood up in front of this astute group of Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin court, and he was going to try to answer the question that everyone in this court had: what are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with these apostles? And what are we going to do with Christianity? And Gamaliel made a statement. And it was a very thoughtful statement. And it was a statement that was very well informed and thought out. He made an argument that was based on history, and this was a very strong argument that Gamaliel made to the Sanhedrin court. He affirmed that certain movements had happened in the past, in the recent past, in Jerusalem, but because they were not of God, they were of man, they had failed. There was a man by the name of Thutis, and we read about him in verse 36 of this fifth chapter of Acts. Two rebellions had taken place in recent times, and one of them was this man, Thutis. And Thutis had started a religious movement that had occurred, and he had made himself very popular with the people by claiming to be a Messiah of some type, making himself to be something that he was not. And he was able to accrue some 400 plus individuals to his movement that believed in him, and they were following after Thutis. This came to the attention of the Sanhedrins, and they were fretting. I think that would be a very mild word to use over the growth of this movement that Thutis had began. But Thutis was killed. And when he was killed, his entire movement ended, and the groups that he had following him were dispersed, and his mission and his movement and everything about it died when Thutis died. He goes on then in verse 37, and he reminds this Sanhedrin court of a man by the name of Judas of Galilee that had caused a real problem. He had caused quite a stir in the days of the census. Judas was another false prophet or a false messiah, and Judas had drawn many people away to him and following his teachings, and he was very popular among the people. Again, this caused the Sanhedrin some real serious thought, because they didn't like these motions and these movements and these people that began to follow these men and took away from their power and their authority. But what happened to Judas of Galilee? Well, he got killed also. He perished. And all of those that followed him were scattered, and his movement and his mission died with him as well. Now, Gamaliel mentioned this to the Sanhedrin, and then he makes the point of what he's trying to say. He said the frogs died. They came. They were popular for a while, but they were of man. They were not of God, and they died, and the movements ended. And he said, let's wait and see. This was the option, this was the approach that Gamaliel offered to the Sanhedrin court. We don't know if Jesus and these apostles was of God or of man. But like these other two that came and were of man and were defeated, the motion and the movement was gone. Let's take this wait and see approach before we do anything. Now, people have a lot of different views upon what Gamaliel said in the speech. And I'm going to admit, I changed my mind about this after I began to study and begin to read. On one hand, the first thing that could be considered about Gamaliel is that the evidence that the apostles and Jesus had proven unto Gamaliel, that it was enough to convince him that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah. That these apostles were telling the truth, that these apostles were of God, and a man that was this smart and well-versed in the law should have realized that this was the true thing. This was not a man. This was not a false fraud movement. But this was for real. Jesus is the Messiah. One group said that Gamaliel should have understood this. There was another group. It said that since Gamaliel did not support the apostles, he, kind of speaking like a politician, was just trying to kind of smooth things over and make the problem go away. Kind of a middle-of-the-road approach. Let's just back off. And let's see what happens. Let's calm down. Let's lose our anger and let's just sit back and wait to see what happens. I learned a long time ago that when you're dealing with a real slick politician or you're dealing with an arbitrator, they're going to satisfy both parties. So you have two parties with two different things. They're going to try and get right in the middle. We used to refer to that as they split the baby. This goes back to the wisdom of Solomon. in the decision that he made. In other words, give this half something and give this half something and kind of meet in the middle and everybody's happy and we go on about our way with the compromise. Some people say that's all Gamaliel was trying to do. He was just trying to get this problem to go away. There's another group. And they say that he was in a very difficult situation. And I'm going to agree with this part of it. He was. He was walking on ice here. He was in a very serious and a difficult situation. I think he realized who the apostles were. I think he realized who Jesus was. And I think all he was trying to do was to save the lives of these apostles. I personally believe that Gamaliel had a lot of faith in Jesus. I think he believed in Jesus. I think he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. There were just too many things that had come together. There was too many points. There was too many prophecies that had been fulfilled for a man with the wisdom of Gamaliel in the old law not to understand this guy was real. This was of God. This was not of man. But it was a very dangerous position to take in this Sanhedrin court to stand out for Jesus. So he just kind of soft-soaked it. He just got in the middle and he took a middle-of-the-road approach and he said, let's just wait and see what happens. There is one point, though, that he made that is very plain and it's hard to miss. He suggested that the Sanhedrin stay away from the apostles and leave them alone because there was a chance, he said. There is a chance, he says, that they are of God and they represent God. And he said, if they are of God, then you can't fight them. You can't fight God. And if you fight God, you can't overthrow them. So he said, let's just kind of sit and wait. He was right there. You can't fight God. And whatever God is, the will of God is the one that is going to prevail, even over this astute, very self-supported and well thought of Sanhedrin court. But you know, Jesus died just like Thutis and just like Judas. But Thutis and Judas stayed dead. And Jesus did not. He arose because there was no reason for him to die. He had no sin in him. And this was proof. And Gamaliel knew it. That Jesus was of God. He was the Messiah. And Gamaliel's words seemed to be based on his own logical conclusion. That Jesus and his apostles were of God. Nevertheless, this had gone so far. It had become so serious. That this council is not going to believe anything, regardless of the supernatural things that had happened, because they wanted these men dead, and they wanted them dead now, and they wanted this Christianity movement, to end. Now the argument sounded good, and it must have been presented well, because it calmed down these angry men, and they accepted what Gamaliel was saying. Gamaliel then was successful in his speech to the Sanhedrin court. But when we look at the points that he made and the middle-of-the-road approach that he took, we find that his position was wrong. He was successful. The Sanhedrin appreciated. He was very influential. He was a very well-taught and well-spoken man. He was successful in what he wanted to do and that he calmed things down. But he was wrong. And just because a man is successful does not mean that he is an indicator of the truth. Even though Gamaliel was successful, he was still wrong in the statement that he had made. There are products and there are movements which succeed, not because the products or the things they sell or the things they say are good, but because they are good salesmen. Many items sell because the one selling it is just a super salesman, and he's able to sell these things that are not any better than any other product. Bad products can be popular, and those that do it and that do the selling that have a good sales pitch are the ones that's able to make these products look good. Let me give you one example of this. Let's talk about the liquor industry. Let's talk about those people that sell alcohol to the public. Let's talk about a product that brings death and addiction and destruction to those that abuse alcohol. The Bible has warned against the dangers of alcohol from the very beginning of time. It is a terrible thing. Alcohol and those that abuse alcohol drink a product that puts people in jail and in prison. It is a product that kills people. It kills the guilty and it kills the innocents, because abuse of alcohol is a terrible, terrible thing. And it's not a hard thing to look at our court records and see the dangers of alcohol. It continues to succeed, though. The growth of alcohol is a phenomenal growth, because people like alcohol, and they want alcohol, and they desire alcohol, and they crave alcohol, and they buy alcohol. Does that mean that because people like it and it's popular, that it is of God? Why, absolutely not. Because the Bible has spoken against alcohol from the creation, from the beginning. It's not of God, but it's something that grows, and it's something that is successful. Gamaliel offered that if God were not behind a movement, it would fail. But just because the movement is successful hardly means that it is of God. I think that's a very important point that we need to understand. Some say that Gamaliel had in mind the false religions, speaking of the Jewish religions, those that were fighting Christianity at this time. But if we limit only the religious faith, I think that we still have to admit that he got it wrong. There are faiths in our world today that deny the true God, but yet these groups continue to grow, and they continue to be successful, and they continue to succeed, and people continue to join them. They consider it to be popular, and even though they teach something that is totally different than the things that God taught, they continue to grow. So does that mean that God is behind false religions because they're successful? And that's absolutely not. That's not the way it works. Gamaliel was wrong. He was wrong. He should have been viewing things and making his statement with the eternity in mind, instead of just this situation that they were involved in Jerusalem. He should have said that only those things that God approves and God creates will be alive in the day of judgment. If it's not of God, then it's not going to be there. Jesus promised in Matthew 15 and 13, he said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. In other words, if God didn't create it, if it was not in the design of God in the day of judgment, it's not going to stand up. Man's things are going to die. God's is the only things that are going to last. Let's look at a little bit now of the points that he made, the speech that Gamaliel made. Let's go to verses 38 and 39. Because many of today's religious organizations that do not follow after Christ, that don't believe in Christ, and don't obey the gospel as they're told to do in the New Testament scriptures, and we can also include this ancient Jewish religion, the law of Moses, that these people were trying to keep in effect at this time, they use this verse to say that they are of God. Their reasoning goes something like this, verse 39. If a group continues to exist, then it's got to be of God. You know, the Jews said, we've been around a long time. We've been around some 2,000 years. We've been persecuted, but yet we continue to exist. And since our existence has not come to an end, we must be of God, and we must be satisfactory to God. They spoke about 40 years too soon, because in AD 70, this old Jewish religion in Jerusalem and all of Israelites, this all failed, because Jerusalem and the old law failed. Gamaliel's conclusion was not right. I think that if we understand a few points about this, we'll be able to better understand Gamaliel's position. Gamaliel was a great teacher. He was very well versed in the law. He was very influential. He was a good speaker. But Gamaliel was not inspired. He was not inspired as were the apostles of God. He didn't have God behind him. Gamaliel was not an apostle. Gamaliel was simply a well-respected man, and the words that Gamaliel listed are recorded in the book of Acts. But you've got to realize you can find the words of Gamaliel in the book of Acts, but the Bible does not say that his words were right, and it does not say that his words were wrong. They're simply given in script in the New Testament. These are the words of Gamaliel, but there was no right or wrong that was listed. You know, there's also some verses in the Bible where a man would say that Jesus was demon-obsessed. You know, of course, that's absolutely false. It's not true. But the words are there. And so if people just say, I see the words, obviously then it must be right. A similar thing has happened now to Gamaliel. And he's made the statement, if it's beginning to continue to exist and is popular, then it's got to be of God. But the text does not affirm whether the words were right or wrong. You have to read your Bible and understand through the situations that the words that Gamaliel said were wrong. When Acts 5 is misused, and it is misused in our world today, even as that we're misusing it to try to keep this old Mosaic law alive, we got a problem. One thing that I want you to understand about what Gamaliel was teaching, and I think this is very, very important. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was very fond of his education with Gamaliel. It said that he trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a very great, influential, well thought of, well educated man. But the Apostle Paul didn't buy this wait and see approach. The Apostle Paul didn't buy this. If it succeeds, it must be good. Because if the Apostle Paul had bought this, he would never have stayed with the Christianity movement. He did not subscribe to the wait and see option that Gamaliel had proposed. The fact then that we need to realize about the teachings of Gamaliel is that truth cannot be tested by the words that Gamaliel spoke in verses 38 and 39. Now Gamaliel did, of course, get one thing right. He said the apostles are not going to be stopped if they're of God, and they couldn't stop them. Because whatever God's will is, that will be done. But he was very persuasive. And I get this out of the 40th verse of this chapter. It said that the Sanhedrin court agreed with his words. They were convinced. And he was a very convincing speaker. He was a religious man. He was a devout follower of the law of Moses. They knew him. They respected him. He was extremely bright. He had an excellent reputation. He was someone that was influential. And his influence was enough that the other religious leaders in this court followed his lead. He was good. He was really good. He was smooth. We would call him a goldie throat. He was really well taught and well spoken. And he was able to get these other men to follow his lead. Again, Gamaliel was good at convincing a crowd. But Gamaliel was still in error in the things that he said. And there's a lot of people in our world today that are just like Gamaliel. They're religious and they're bright. They have an excellent reputation. They're convincing in their talks. And when they speak, people admire them and they follow them without even listening to the words and going back and determining the things that they are saying is true. Being smart, influential, and convincing make someone look right. But they can also be wrong. And if they're not in God, they are wrong. Acts 5 says to every person in the world that reads this book, be careful when you listen to religious teachers. I think, though, that we can probably learn more from this account from what is not said into what was said. If Gamaliel was as familiar with the Old Testament law as history says, he should have given some Bible verses to back up the statements that he was making. If Gamaliel really wanted to do this the right way, he would have cited the scriptures as he offered his device. If Gamaliel was truthful in what he said, he would have inquired of the Lord what they should do and how they should handle this. But they didn't. They didn't even evaluate this matter. Because the decision had already been reached, according to the 40th verse. Because the people of God were ordered that the apostles be beaten and to return and to quit preaching Jesus Christ. There was no search for truth. There was no search for right. There was no search for God's will. Because this was not a religious discussion. It was Gamaliel that spoke and the word was enough for the crowd. The crowd may have felt satisfied. But the words of Jesus come to mind. He said, if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Matthew 15 and 14. And Gamaliel was like a blind man leading others who also could not see. The Bible deals with this command, with this problem, by a couple of simple commands. In 1 John 4 and 1, John instructs Christians to test the spirits. If a religious leader tells you something and gives you a doctrine, test the spirits. Confirm it, affirm it with biblical teachings. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, Paul said, prove all things. Don't believe someone that tells you. Don't believe anything someone tells you until you have gone to the Bible and proven the things that he says are true. This is necessary because there are still people in the world today like Gamaliel Beware of false teachers. Beware of false doctrines. So as we begin to wind this up, the book of Acts contains some very important lessons for us, and this is one of those lessons. Never take a spiritual doctrine and believe it with the formula that Gamaliel had given. If it's of God, it'll last, and if it's not of God, then it's going to fall, because this is not the test. We can never say it works, so let's use it, because the test must be the Word of God. And I think that is the key to this whole thing. The test of our doctrine must be the Word of God. Just because a person is a respected teacher or bright does not mean that he is right. Teaching of any man must always be tested and approved by the Scriptures. And I think that is the lesson that we're getting here in these verses. Brilliance and intellectualism are not necessary to be an effective Christian. So, let's conclude. Gamaliel knew the old law. He knew it inside and he knew it out. He knew the prophecies about the Messiah. His knowledge of the old law had allowed him to understand all of the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that had been made about Jesus that had been fulfilled one after the other. Every last one of them fulfilled as prophesied. He knew that when the Messiah came that there would be signs, and these signs were evident. And Gamaliel knew the old law, and he knew enough to realize that this man was the Messiah. This was the Son of God. He was respected above all others. His influence was strong and unmatched. I just can't stop and not believe that he did not in his heart realize that Jesus was the Messiah. So let's give a what if. Here's a what if. What if, instead of standing up and giving this generic, watered-down, waiting-see approach, just trying to calm things, what if Gamaliel had stood up and said, I know the old law. I know the prophecies of the old law. I know that Jesus is coming as the Messiah, and I know that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised, and I won't ever want to accept the words that he says. I believe that there was enough members on this Sanhedrin that were also teetering right on the edge, because they've seen the miracles too. They knew something was supernatural here. There may have been enough members of the Sanhedrin, if he had stood up and courageously proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah, we may have had an entire different situation than we have today, because they may have believed him. He was influential enough and respected enough that he could possibly could have carried the Sanhedrin. How unfortunately though, Gamaliel took the path of least resistance when he made his speech, and he did not live up to his potential, and he certainly did not live up his responsibility as a leader of God's chosen nature. What can we learn from Gamaliel? We learn that a true, genuine Christian will learn the Word of God, he will obey the Word of God, he will proclaim the Word of God, and he will live by the commandments that the Bible has given. We teach hearing and believing and repentance and confession of the name of Jesus as the Son of God and baptism for the remission of sins. That's exactly what Peter taught in Acts 2. It's what is taught all through the book of Acts. In every conversion story, it was repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. They didn't say a prayer and say, please enter into my heart and save me, because that's not the way conversion works. A genuine Christian obeys it, proclaims it, and lives it. Unfortunately, that's not the legacy that Gamaliel left to the world in Acts 5. Concludes my remarks. Let's now have a song of invitation. If we can help anyone in any way, come forward as we stand and sing.